Michael Sebastian, and I've been spending the last few years of my life learning how to dress.
And I'm David Mintz, and I've been teaching Michael how to do it.
Some guys seem to dress well without any effort at all. Why? Because they know the rules. But we're going to share their secrets with you. Hello, and welcome on our quest to be better dressed. If you've been following this show, you'll know by now that we're sharing sartorial knowledge. In other words, how to dress well. And the guru in the room is my good friend and good tailor, David. Except, as I record this, David is off getting married. Congratulations to him and Saffron. So he's not in the studio with me today, but his ghost is still in my machine. Because when we record these podcasts, we usually have lots of little rabbit holes that we dive down that generally take us totally off topic. But I snip them out and I keep a bin full of them. And just like a tailor uses every inch of the cloth, I'm always happy to use every inch of our material and sew them together and see what kind of an episode comes out. So we're going to start off today with another listener question. Oh, we love listener questions, by the way, so keep them coming. You can send them as a voice message on Instagram at Savvy Dressers. And this one is from a very savvy Floridian.
Hey Michael, hey David, it's CK from across the pond in Miami, Florida. What is the significance of men's buttons on the right side as opposed to women's buttons on the left side? Would it be considered a faux pas for men to wear buttons on the left side today? And as for new collections coming out which are considered unisex, what side are designers putting the buttons? Thank you for your insights.
Wow. I am transported, CK, to my youth when the Tom Selleck as Magnum style Hawaiian shirt became de rigueur for young men. Yeah. I wanted one of those Hawaiian camp collared shirts so badly. My mother found a Hawaiian shirt, the exact same Hawaiian shirt that I'd seen one of my friend's sisters wearing. And she said, is it this? I said, it's exactly that. Can we have it? I got it. Anyway, I wore this shirt with pride until I was at the aforementioned friend's house with the aforementioned friend's sister and her friends. And they revealed to me that my buttons were on the wrong side. And
oops,
was I in fact wearing a girl's shirt? Which when you are a hip 13-year-old.
Freud would have a lot to say about that, David.
So I think certainly for myself, CK, it's important that I remember which side my buttons are on. But I believe the actual reason is that the side that your clothes button relates to the side that you have to draw your sword from. The right-handed gentleman would draw his sword from his left hip and he'd have to be able to slip his hand in between the two leaf edges of his coat. And so ergo, the left side overlapped the right side and he could put his hand in there easily and draw his sword to do what I couldn't possibly say. But that is my understanding. Is that your understanding, Michael?
Yes, it is. Although I had also heard that a society woman would have a maid to dress her, and the maid would be facing her mistress to do that. And because she would be right-handed, because everybody was right-handed, I doubt it was for the maid's benefit, probably just more to speed up the process because she had a lot of buttons. I think men were considered capable of buttoning things up themselves, although part of a valet's duty would involve actual dressing, not just choosing and readying the clothes. Personally, can't imagine what it would be like to have a bloke buttoning up my shirt at 7 a.m. I think my preference would be a maid, actually.
I think I'd rather have men unbuttoning me at 7 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know quite how to follow that. What about CK's other point about gender? What did designers do about the left right button thing?
Well, I don't know because I don't follow fashion and I don't follow the houses that release collections necessarily. So I'm not quite sure which side they will be putting their buttons on. But does it matter in this gender-neutral society that we now live in? I think it's a case of you wear the garments that you want to wear and that you feel most comfortable in. Women who prefer male clothing, they will be wearing men's styles and designs. They will have to wear trousers that are cut for a woman because they're cut differently. But will they mind which side the buttons are on? I couldn't possibly say.
Can't imagine it's a deal breaker, but, I mean, in the 21st century in the way that it might have been.
Yeah, for sure. We know it's not going to affect the drawing of your sword anymore, if you'll pardon the expression, because we don't walk around with swords hanging off of our hips as we used to. But trouser waistbands are now creeping back up towards the navel, which is where trousers were cut until the 1950s. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you that 10 years ago, when I met Saffron Darby...
That's your wife.
Yeah. So when she was senior designer at Toast Womenswear, she was already cutting high-waisted trousers for women with a double pleat, which is something that, again, I've only noticed in menswear circles or sartorial menswear circles. I've only seen that in the last few years. Guys going from flat-fronted to single pleat to double pleat. That's now all the rage again for us. And add to that high-waisted, you could argue that we're wearing women's trousers, CK. And I'm very comfortable with that. What would happen if you swapped the buttons is I think you'd confuse people immensely.
So the verdict, my lord, is probably that in the 20s it might have mattered, but in the 2020s it doesn't matter anywhere near as much.
I don't think it matters. Just wear what you're comfortable with.
Indeed.
And don't forget to draw your sword from the correct side.
Well, I hope that answered the question. If you have a question on anything sartorial, why not send it as a voice message on Instagram at Savvy Dressers. Now, speaking of buttoning shirts, my mother always insisted I button up my shirt cuffs. And I kind of took it as read that unless you were rolling up your sleeves, that's what you'd always do, especially if you were a sartorially savvy gent. So this next snippet that I found in the bin came as something of a surprise to me. I never even noticed what David is about to reveal about his shirt cuffs.
And my sleeve secret, Michael, is that I don't fasten my cuff button on my shirt sleeves most days.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Firstly,
I sounded very surprised when I said that. Really? That was very high. Yeah. I should come down.
No, not at all. Gravitas, I'm with you.
No, I am genuinely shocked.
I was genuinely shocked when I went to visit Francesca Marino in Naples, which is who makes our ties for us.
In the shadow of Vesuvius.
They're in the foothills of Mount Vesuvius, quite genuinely.
As we said before, how can you forget that?
Interestingly, so is our Italian shirt maker, Boriello. They're also in the foothills of Mount Vesuvius.
It's busy down there, isn't it?
Anyway, I was talking to Patrizio, and I noticed that he had a shirt on with single cuffs, and he didn't fasten his cuffs, and so... Being the inquisitive soul that I am, I asked him, Patrick, why don't you fasten your shirt cuff buttons? And it's going to be very difficult to do this on radio. But he held his hands up as if to say, Mamma mia, and twisted his hands from left to right as if to say, superfluous to requirements, dear boy.
Yeah.
And he didn't actually answer me in so many words, just held his hands up.
Yeah.
Twisted his hands from side to side and then put his arms back by his side again. And I knew in that instant what he meant. He meant sprezzatura.
Sprezzatura. It's the Italian word for nonchalance, isn't it?
Yeah. Intentional nonchalance. Yeah. That's exactly it. Yeah, so there you go. That's okay. My dirty little shirt secret.
Well, well.
My sleeve secret.
Fascinating.
Off the cuff, if you will. But
yeah. That's a sleevey wonder, that is.
Excellent. A sleevey wonder.
Excellent.
Until next time, ladies.
Maybe that shows I'm more of a buttoned-up sort of guy, at least where shirt cuffs are concerned. But socks can also have a bit of a mind of their own too and slip around like crazy. But David has a savvy solution for that. Sock Wranglers, this is your moment.
Another quick win for our listeners. The over-calf sock. The reason I like over-calf socks is this. When I was a jobbing tailor living and working in London, and I had to go from law firm to law firm, I would be carrying suit carriers with guys' suits in. This meant that my hands were full. I was laden, and I couldn't pull up my socks, which kept slipping down during the course of a working day, getting on and off of tube trains, on and off of buses, pounding the streets of London. And so I spoke to my colleagues. What do you do about your socks when they fall down? And I was introduced to over-calf socks, which is, as it sounds, a sock that is so long it goes over your calf and stops just beneath your knee. And once I had discovered the over-calf sock, once I had realized that once you put these socks on in the morning, you do not touch them again for the rest of the day, I never turned back. And that's why Brown in Town only stocks over-calf socks.
What about heat, though? You know, if you're pounding the streets in the middle of summer, doesn't that sounds really warm. What do you do about that?
We only stock cotton.
Okay.
So cotton, unlike wool, doesn't really retain heat. It releases heat. So it's breathable. It's a natural fiber. In fairness, the hand of the cotton socks that we stock and sell, which are made by Bresciani in Italy.
Mm-hmm. I have some.
Do you?
I do.
Do you enjoy them?
I love them. I get them from Paris, actually, not from Brown in Town. But
from the Pope's sock shop.
The Pope's sock shop, yes. I've never actually bumped into him there, but they do sell Gamarelli socks, which apparently are a supplier to Il Papa. He wears the over-the-knee white ones, over-calf socks plus.
Yes.
Anyway, it's a little sock shop called Mes Chaussettes Rouges, just down from the Eiffel Tower and round the corner.
I've heard about it. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing.
You can get all sorts of things around that corner. I can
yes, I've heard that as well, but I think that's a whole other episode.
Definitely.
But broadly, when you knit together cotton to make a pair of socks, the hand is a whole lot like wool.
Yeah, the feel of it.
The reason I don't wear wool socks for the most part is that I destroy them. You know, I walk or sometimes cycle 2.5 miles each way to the studio. It's a lot of pounding. And I can break socks. And so I found that switching to cotton, they were harder wearing than the wool ones or the wool mix ones. Breathable. My feet never ever get hot and sweaty. And we do two different gauges. We do a fine gauge during the summer and we offer a slightly heavier knit gauge during the winter, and I have never looked back.
They don't fall down, do they?
I have tried those things once. You put them on in the morning and they stay in that exact same position until the end of the day. Absolutely genius.
And with that little bit of genius, I'm going to root around in the snippets bin a bit more. We'll be continuing the journey next time. Don't forget to follow the show, like us, review us. That'd be dandy. Until next time, stay safe and dress well.